Many of you have heard this story about my love for music. I think I've probably told it to you, but for those who don't know it, well, there was actually a day that I dreamed of being a professional violist. Actually, I started out on the violin. One day I was practicing and my brother Randy suggested to Mom that I needed to take up the viola. She asked him why and he replied, "There's no E string." Mom's immediate response was, "Where can I find one?" It wasn't long before she located the three-quarter size viola that I needed in order to play properly. When the string teacher suggested to her that I was a good candidate for private lessons, not because I was awful, but because he thought I had some talent, Mom didn't hesitate to ask if he could direct her towards the right person. By my sophomore year in high school, I was actually playing alongside professionals from the Kansas City Symphony. Now, Mom knew that I had no plans of majoring in music in college. My love was for the viola. I didn't want to learn the other instruments. I didn't want to learn how to teach. I wanted to play the viola. And so we agreed that I would continue to take private lessons and would play with any orchestra or string quartet that would have me. It was a compromise that worked, at least for me. One night, a group of us decided to skip out on yet another lovely cafeteria dinner and go for a pizza. We weren't very far from the campus when someone walked out in front of the car. The driver slammed on his brakes and swerved in order to miss the pedestrian. I was riding in the front seat, and it was the day before harnesses, and I threw out my hands and hit the dashboard. In place of going for pizza that night, we ended up in the emergency room where my suspicions were confirmed. My left hand, the one that is used to finger a stringed instrument, had sustained some rather severe injuries. There was no doubt that it would heal, but there was also no doubt that my viola playing days were over. All it took was one decision on our part, one thoughtless moment on a pedestrian's part, and suddenly everything changed. That's just the way life is. We make one choice, one decision, and we do it every day without even thinking about it. Most of them are so insignificant that we don't give them a second thought. And yet days, weeks, and maybe years later, we realize just how those unimportant choices were to our lives. Like ripples on a pond, caused when we toss in a pebble. The cumulative effect of even our smallest, most insignificant decision keeps growing and spreading. The story of Elijah has that ripple effect. When we first meet him, he is a young prophet. And his first job is to go to King Ahab. God wants to warn this unscrupulous person that because of his evil, because of his behavior, the entire nation of Israel would suffer a drought. Ahab, no doubt, found the prophet's warning quite funny. After all, Elijah seemed to be little more than a young wannabe from the country. Who was he to be telling the king anything? And while Ahab refused to believe what had been told to him? Elijah knew that God's words would come true. He also knew that when they did, the king was not going to be happy. And he would be the one to be blamed. And so he decided to do what seemed to be prudent at the moment. He ran for the hills. As a matter of fact, that's exactly where he was when the drought hit. When the king's anxiety began to rise, the prophet was nowhere to be found. Now, one would like to think that because Elijah was doing what the Lord had commanded him to do, he would be protected from the disasters that were surrounding him. But that's not the way it worked. You see, eventually the mountain stream that flowed by his hideout dried out, and the ravens who had been bringing food to him every day failed to come. And then, to make a bad situation worse, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and told him to go to Zarephath, a city that was exactly 8 miles from the hometown of Ahab's wife, Jezebel. Elijah had every reason not to go. Yet despite all the logical and intellectual reasons not to, Elijah decided that it was important to trust God. More important to trust than to cave in to his fears. And it was in Zarephath, during one of the worst droughts in biblical history, that Elijah encountered a poor widow who was, as we later learn, collecting sticks so she could cook her last meal. Elijah had no idea. And so he asked her to bring him water, and then he said, and by the way, would you bring me a small cake of bread? And that's when the woman told him that she was about to prepare the last meal before she and her son would starve to death. And Elijah told her something just as impossible as God had told him. Bring me something to eat, and everything will be okay. And now it was her choice to respond. Would she continue making preparations to die? Or would she open what little bit of life she had to a stranger? To a prophet who represented a God she didn't know. Standing in the middle of the road, she decided. And the ripples of Elijah's faith and God's love began to spread. And now, as we look at the story all these thousands of years later, we realize that because of the way those two people decided to interact, because the love that they had for God, because of their actions, the story spread so far that now we're a part of it too. And as a result. It is our turn to trust and to follow, to take those small steps toward God, especially when our world is falling apart and what he asks seems impossible. And who knows what effect our decisions will have on others? Maybe someday, maybe even today, God will use us to help widen the circle of Christ's healing love. Like ripples on a pond, the decisions we make will continue to spread. To God be the glory.